"Let's do it to them before they do it to us," was the tagline used by roll call sergeant Stan Yablonsky on Hill Street Blues. Yablonsky was played by my guest Robert Prosky. This character actor was in his mid-50s when he started on Hill Street, and he was a newcomer to TV. But in the world of theater, he was a veteran. For 23 years, beginning in 1958, Prosky worked with the Washington, D.C.-based Arena Stage, which is one of the most respected regional theater companies in the United States. On Broadway, he's since received 2 Tony nominations for his roles in David Mamet's Glengarry Glen Ross and the play A Walk in the Woods. Prosky started his movie career in the early 1980s and has appeared in Thief, Christine, The Natural, and Broadcast News, as well as the made-for-TV movie The Murder of Mary Fagan. He's now co-starring in the David Mamet movie Things Change, where he plays the mafia don of Lake Tahoe. Mamet chose Prosky for the role in spite of the fact that he's not Italian.
He called me and told me he was considering it. We had worked together on Broadway in Glengarry Glen Ross, and we knew each other quite well. He had some reservations. He didn't know whether the device would work, or there was another word he used. I forget what it was. But anyway, it is an Italian mafia chieftain, and whether I could be Italian.
Sure, because everybody thinks of you as Polish, in part because, A, you are Polish,
yes,
but also because you played the Polish roll call sergeant, Daniel Blonsky, on Hill Street.
Right. But this man is, he's third generation or fourth generation in the United States. He has no Italian dialect of any sort. The only concession we made, actually, was I wore brown contact lenses. And since the hair is white anyway,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't make that much difference. So it worked pretty well, I think.
Did you learn anything about the Tahoe mob for research?
Not really. We had some people that were hanging around there that seemed to be, I don't know if they were part of it or not. I've done a lot of that sort of thing, however, in other areas. My first film was a film called Thief, and we did that in Chicago, and we had some Highline Diamond Thieves and somewhat questionable characters, I guess, as technical advisors on the film. And we lived all in the same hotel. And many of them were in the film playing small roles. So I taught them how to act, and they taught me a great deal about the Chicago scene.
You taught them how to act. They taught you about extortion.
Just about, really. That's what it came down to. I found out a great deal and went to a lot of different places with them, and I found it fascinating.
You spent about, 23 years with Arena Stage in Washington, D.C.?
That's right. I went down there from New York to do one play and stayed there and raised a family and got married there. And it was something that was rather unusual for an American actor to have that kind of background or that kind of opportunity. It's one of the best, still is one of the best. I just saw a play the other day, theaters in the country. And they do everything, new plays, old plays, classics. I played something like 130 roles there over 23 years.
I guess that's a terrific opportunity. I think of so many actors who, for instance, if they get their start on television, play one role every 6 years. To play 130 roles over a period of years gives you... Certainly, you must learn a lot doing that much.
You certainly do, and I performed every night. I think for the first 20 years, I didn't miss a performance, and I was working all the time. I think it was a kidney stone that finally stopped me. but it is unusual, and it gives, hopefully, a large... range to the actor who does it. I think, most of the people know me as Sergeant Yablonsky, but I've done a great deal of Shakespeare. I've done Brecht. I've done Chekhov. I've done Shaw. I've done modern plays. I've done a lot of David Mamet. And our society doesn't particularly reward the actor who can do that. And it's a more European concept for an actor. But that's all right. I just had a tape made, as a matter of fact, of some of the things that I've done on film, and even my agent was surprised at the range, which goes from, I think the first scene is Yablonsky doing a monologue from a segment that was written by David Mamet, as a matter of fact, and then it goes on to the Russian acting teacher in Outrageous Fortune and the owner of the team in The Natural, and things from Thief, which was my first film, and it's fairly broad, even if I do say so myself.
Why don't we do a little bit of that ourselves? We have a couple of clips with you in it standing by. I thought I'd get started with The Natural. This was one of the first movies that you did. It was, what, 1984?
I'm terrible at dates. Probably somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there. And you played the corrupt, kind of malevolent owner of the baseball team that Robert Redford plays on.
That's right.
And the owner has placed bets against the team, so he wants the team to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And Redford's the best player they've got. So to guarantee that the team will lose, you, the owner, tries to bribe Redford to retire. Here's the clip.
Now, as you may know, the prevailing rate for this sort of thing is $10,000. I'm offering you twice that.
You're wasting your time.
Well, you know as well as I do that you're in no condition to play.
Then why the $20,000?
Insurance. You could get into the game. You could wreck it with an unexpected blow.
Well, that'd be the beauty of it.
It's a monumental mistake, Hobbs. In light of a certain information that I now possess. Police photographs. Taken, 15 years ago. In a hotel room. By the way, that's you.
I really was not used to hearing you be so evil in a role. But I guess you used to play the heavy a lot.
I did, because the first role that I did in films was very heavy. It was a very mean, vicious criminal who actually was sort of benign in the beginning. And that sort of typecast me for films for a while. It is not true any longer. I just played a southern lawyer in a small town in Georgia circa 1944 in a Hallmark Hall of Fame, which will be coming out in, I think somewhere around Easter.
Something else I noticed in that role, I guess through the Stan Yablonsky role on Hill Street, I always thought you as playing working class characters, which you didn't do in The Natural.
No, I didn't. And I've done a lot of working class as well as, rather rich, powerful men. One thing I haven't done is I haven't done much of that on film. I've done a great deal of that on stage. I just finished playing a Russian diplomat in A Walk in the Woods on Broadway.
You're from a working class background yourself. Is it any easier to fit into a working class role?
Not necessarily. The role that's easy to fit into is a well-written role, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's more challenge. Yablonsky was pretty well-written generally, particularly in the segment that David Mamet wrote. No, I don't think my background helps me in many, many different ways. I come from a huge Polish family in Philadelphia, as a matter of fact, and I went to college there, and it's helped me a great deal with Yablonsky, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear an excerpt of you playing Yablonsky. Now, this role was started under extenuated circumstances. Michael Conrad, who had played the role called Sergeant since the beginning of the show, died very tragically. And after a while, you were chosen to take that part of the role called Sergeant. The part was written very differently for you than it was for him. But you probably felt really on the spot having to not only replace this really popular actor in the role on the series, but to also take his place in the ensemble cast that you were playing with.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting parallel. You talked about sources and research and that sort of thing. First of all, I have an uncle who's now retired, who was a roll call sergeant on the Philadelphia Police Force. His name was Matulievich. Also, one of the interesting things in that was that there was a parallel. Yablonsky was a different character coming into an established job that had been vacated by the death of the former desk sergeant. Yablonsky had been a desk sergeant in another precinct, so he was a man of great experience who was coming into a new situation, so he was somewhat on the line. I, as an actor, had somewhat of a reputation. Most of the people on Hill Street had seen me in Glengarry Glen Ross on Broadway. But I also was coming into a new situation as an actor. So the character's experience was paralleling the actor's experience, and that's usable material for the actor.
Well, I want to play an excerpt of the very first roll call that you did on Hill Street Blues.
All right.
Officer Renko!
Yes, sir, that would be me, Sergeant.
I understand you could be expecting to be with child. All other units, you be prepared to back Hill and Renko up, okay? That's it. Let's get out there. Let's do it to them before they do it to us. Hey, don't forget. Stasia Blonsky, never cold-cocked, no woman.
Yeah, I should mention when he takes on that job, he was accused of hitting a senior officer who was a woman.
That's
at
right.
His previous precinct.
In the other precinct, right.
So tell me what it felt like that very first day when you played the part of Yablonsky filling into that role.
Well, it was a little difficult. I was uptight, I would say. Of course, that's not unusual for me. I've never gotten rid of that in 30 years of being an actor. The opening night or the first time is a tension-provoking situation for me always. I knew some of the actors. I had played Shakespeare with the man who plays Belker, Bruce Weitz. It's difficult for people to believe that he has done Shakespeare. Maybe it's difficult for them to believe that I have. But I knew a few of them. I had worked with Charlie Hayde once before. But a series is a different situation, and I had never done a series. That's what I was uptight about. There isn't much time for rehearsal. There isn't much time for research. They light it, and you do it. And the roll calls were done as a straight go. I mean, there was no cutting back and forth. I mean, eventually they did in their editing. But they put two cameras on me, and the roll call started at the top and went through to the end. Then they would turn them around and do the shots of the reactions from the other policeman.
Michael Conrad, when he played the roll call sergeant, used to end the roll call by saying, let's be careful out there.
Right.
You started, when you were the roll call sergeant, you used to end with, let's do it to them before they do it to us.
That's right.
Who came up with that? Was that your line?
No, that wasn't my line. Quite often we would come up with various lines, but that wasn't mine. They did edit it a little bit as we went on because it was misunderstood. We even tried to explain it in one show. It did not mean that I meant to indulge in police brutality. What it meant was to be prepared to do your job, to be one step ahead of the bad guys.
Well, didn't they change it eventually to let's keep rolling, they're getting away out there?
Oh, we did all sorts of things. We never really established another signature, per se. Although we tried a lot of different things. People keep coming up to me and telling me, let's be careful out there. I don't know what they associate that even with me, because it's so ingrained in the Hill Street genre.
You were so used to doing theater. It was kind of late in the game to be watching yourself each week on television. Did you learn a lot of things seeing yourself on TV, being able to watch a performance in a way that you can't watch when you're doing theater?
I have a hard time watching myself on film or on television. I worked a lot with Ned Beatty, who used to be at Arena Stage in Washington, and he's done a lot of films. And I asked him when I started to do films, what did he feel like the first time he saw himself on the big screen? And he said, all I could think of is, who's that fat old man up there saying my lines? And I tend to feel the same way. Sometimes I think something's good. When I was preparing this tape, I saw the monologue from the David Mamet Hill Street, and I liked that a great deal.
Mm-hmm. During part of your stay on Hill Street, you were out for a few weeks. Your character had a heart attack. I figured you actually got a role in a movie
actually,
or a show and asked to be written out for a few weeks.
That's not far from the truth. One of my problems was that I had never done a series, and I avoided series as much as I could. I had a number of offers. I was actually, I had accepted Cheers once before they ever started it. It was for a 13-week commitment to play the bartender. And then I turned it down because I can't imagine myself playing the same role for 7 years. So with Hill Street, we were in the third year, and I was getting other offers, and we talked about it. And I actually did another pilot, and if the other pilot had been picked up, I probably would have died of the heart attack on Hill Street.
So but I guess they left that open-ended, huh?
Yes, they did, and that's unusual for a series, but Hill Street was an unusual series. There was an open-door policy between the writers and the actors and the producers, and Stephen Botchko was one of the originators who now does L.A. Law, and he's an extraordinary man. He's unique in television. He really is.
You were offered the role of Coach on Cheers. That's the role that you turned down?
That's right, yeah.
Well, it was obviously a very popular series.
Yeah, and they did better by getting Nick Colasanto. They really did. But it still is. I'd still be playing that role.
Why didn't you take it?
Well, you sign a 7-year contract. They have you for 7 years. You don't have them for 7 years. I finally just could not visualize myself playing the same role for 7 years.
Did you like the role? Did you find the character
believable? That's it. I liked the role. I liked the people. I liked the director. I thought this thing is going to go, and I'm going to be here doing the same thing for forever. You know, it's one thing if you accept that kind of commitment when you are in your 30s or 40s, but now I'm in my 50s. There were other things I wanted to do as an actor, and I've done quite a few Broadway things and a lot of film and a lot of television, and I enjoy it.
Well, I want to talk with you more about your acting career, but first we're going to take a short break. My guest is actor Robert Prosky, and he plays the head of the Lake Tahoe mob in David Mamet's new film Things Change. He was the roll call Sergeant Stan Jablonski in Hill Street Blues, and has had a long career in theater based at Washington, D.C.'s Arena Stage. He was also nominated for a Tony Award for his role in the Broadway show A Walk in the Woods, also nominated for a Tony for his role in David Mamet's Glengarry Glen Ross. He's joining us from station WAMU in Washington, D.C. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Robert Prosky is my guest, and we're talking about his acting career. I want to get back to your time at Arena Stage in Washington, D.C., the theater group with which you spent about 23 years. Mm-hmm. Was there a turning point for you where you decided to branch out to try to do movies and to get started in television?
That's something that you can decide to do, but the rest of the world has to allow you to do it. I decided that I would like to do that sort of thing, but I was playing pretty heavy roles at Arena. Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman as Dak and Chalk Circle, Galileo, that sort of thing. And what was being offered me in films was a day player. And I would go up to New York, but it was expensive in time and in money. I didn't have the time to look for other work because I was always working. So it was difficult. And Arena, as I said, is one of the best theaters in the country. It's also, I think, one of the best-kept secrets in the country. And that was frustrating. It took Michael Mann, who was producer-director of Thief, to offer me a role. And it kind of surprised me. It was a good role. It was a large role. I had an opportunity to read the script beforehand, and I didn't have to go through the panoply of third assistant director, second assistant director, up to the first assistant director, and then finally get to the point, to the person who's going to say no. I met Michael right away, and we did very well together, and he is accustomed to taking chances in casting.
Let me talk a little bit with you about your background. I know your father had worked in a factory and then owned a grocery store.
That's right.
When you were in the Army, you had to get a hardship discharge after your father died. Your family needed you to help support the family.
That's right.
And you took over the family grocery store.
Yes, I did.
Did you have other aspirations and see taking over the grocery store as being a burden?
Yes, I did not particularly appreciate it, but it was an obligation I had to do, and I wasn't very good at it, frankly. And I continued. I never really thought of myself as becoming an actor. I loved the amateur theater that I did in Philadelphia, but I never had the courage to think of it as a profession.
Is it harder, do you think, sometimes coming from a working class background where there isn't a history of art or theater or entertainment
maybe
in the family? And it might seem like a really out-of-reach aspiration.
That might be true, but I have worked with a lot of actors who come from the sort of same sort of background, and they bring a vitality to the work that is useful. There's an actor in New York called Phil Bosco. I worked with him years ago. I don't know if you know him. He does an awful lot of classics. He's a very fine actor. Off stage, he sounds and looks like a Jersey City truck driver. On stage, he's John Gielgud. but there is a vitality, and I draw a great deal on my background and that huge family and the interrelationships. In fact, I have two sons who are actors, and they are beginning to think that they wish they had that same sort of background, having worked with my hands, having worked hard. All of the marvelous, colorful immigrants that I knew who were my relatives, older relatives.
Did you have to leave the grocery in order to start acting professionally?
Yes, I did. I had an opportunity in Philadelphia. It was an amateur TV dramatic talent search. It was a sort of a silly thing, actually. It was competitive acting, if you can imagine that. And I won that, and one of the prizes was a role at Bucks County Playhouse. Walter Matthau was in the play, and it was directed by Ezra Stone, who used to do Henry Aldrich on radio. And they suggested I get some training. I had never literally opened a book about acting. And I won a scholarship to the American Theater Wing, which had a school at the time. The scholarship was given by the New York Drama League. And my mother recognized that I really did not like what I was doing and encouraged me to go off to New York and become an actor.
So that spared you the guilt of feeling that you were walking out on the family by leaving the store?
Yes, it did. I was an only child, although the family was huge. There were innumerable cousins and aunts and uncles. I was an only child, and the store did close after I left. Luckily, my mother remarried, and that worked out very well. But it was very much to her credit, and indeed to the other relatives. They all encouraged me, which I find interesting. They had none of the cliché feelings about, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't try that. That's what we shouldn't do. They encouraged me.
Did you change your name when you started acting?
Not really. My real name is Porzuchek. It's a long Polish name. But the family had used Prosky for years. My grandfather used Prosky. He was a shoe repairman, and my father used it, and that was the name of the grocery store, as a matter of fact.
Oh, Prosky's?
Yes.
I had read about you that when you were pretty young, I think still in your 20s, that your hair turned white.
Yes, not totally. It was sort of salt and pepper in my 20s. It was white by the time I was in my 30s.
Were you able to use that and have it work for you in your
profession? Certainly. I was a little heavy. I could play older roles. I'm finally getting to the age that I've been playing for 30 years.
Have you read older on stage than you really are for years? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I have. And I even read older on film. Which actually is beginning to bother me a little bit.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. Nobody likes to get older, that's all. I'm beginning to see it when I look at the films.
I have to ask you, I know for a while when you were at Arena Stage that you were doing voiceovers for political commercials.
Yeah.
Did you use your same voice, or did you adapt a voice of authority, like those deep voice narrators?
Oh, the voice of God.
Yes.
No, I guess I have a radio voice if I start using it. Actually, that's not the sort of voice that you want for for any sort of commercial, but particularly for a political commercial. You don't want the professional voice. It has to be clear and concise, but that I was hired generally because I don't have the golden throat. I mean, I can if I'm doing gorgeous material. For instance, in A Walk in the Woods, there are huge, long, 3-4-page speeches, which require a great deal of voice. And my wife, who hadn't heard the voice unquote, for some time because I hadn't done a stage, I hadn't done a play in 4 years, and it didn't, David's plays require a different kind of voice. It was the first time she'd heard it in its full flower since my days at Arena.
I know that one of your frustrations when you were working only on the stage was that you never had a permanent record of your work.
Yes.
After the show was over, there was no record of its existence except for print reviews. Now that you have a more permanent record through your work on TV and movies, what meaning does it have for you? What do you do with it? Do you sit down and watch it to see how you've changed? What uses of it are important to you?
Just that it's there. I don't look to see how it's changed or anything of that sort. It's just, as a matter of fact, it's not really there. I don't have a record of me doing Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman or Galileo or some of those roles, and I would love to be able to do work of that level on film, and I haven't really as yet, I don't feel. Of course, even though that is frustrating, and it frustrated me more and more as I was doing larger roles and, I hope, better work at Arena, there is also a joy in a stage production. There is a unique event that's built each evening between the audience and the actor. It's not just the actor. It's built together, and it's unique to that event. Joe Chaykin, who writes on theater, said that one of the beauties of theater is the shared mortality in the space. And that's why it's precious, is because it lasts an instant. And it's the essence of the actor's work, is to create the moment, the now. And the now only exists for an instant.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us about your work. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
My guest has been Robert Prosky. He co-stars in David Mamet's new film, Things Change. Last year, he was on Broadway starring in A Walk in the Woods. You may know him best as the Hill Street Blues roll call sergeant, Stan Yablonsky. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.